are Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Thursday, June 9th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that is so excited to continue our fan season in review series today with Mary Clark.
I love Mary, and it's always good to get her perspective on the Flyers, so this is exciting.
I know, I think she is our most frequent guest by a mile, so it's always good to check in with her, give us a good gut check. To keep track of what's going on with the Flyers, with our episodes, all that good stuff, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. You can also email us at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. We are your hosts. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Danielle.
And today's episode is brought to you by Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/lockedon for 300% back on your first play. On today's show, before we talk to Mary, who is on the Locked On Network with us on the cross check, we are going to do a quick check-in on Kevin Hayes. Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, wherever you are listening right now. So subscribe to get all of our episodes every weekday here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, Danielle. So something we hadn't talked about this week yet was the news around Kevin Hayes having successful core surgery, and he's recovering really well. He's working out already, and supposedly he'll be back skating in early July. So that is really good news to hear.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I'm happy that he was able to get it done pretty quickly, and so he'll have plenty of time to heal up and be ready for training camp.
One of the things that kind of came from this, you know, we talked about Kevin Hayes pretty extensively on April 29th, and we'll put a link to that episode in our show notes. And we talked specifically about how he just felt like he wasn't in a lot of plays that he had in the past, and he didn't have as much jump. And he mentioned specifically, you know, after the surgery that it really did affect him a lot over the course of the season. And he knew that he wasn't as fast as he normally had been. And maybe that's why we weren't seeing some of those shorthanded opportunities as often, right? So does that change anything about how you feel like his season went?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like when you find out a player is suffering an injury, that I think that colors their season a little bit differently. He wasn't at 100%, puts a lot of things in perspective. Again, we, spoiler alert on that episode about Kevin Hayes, we looked at the numbers, and he was doing better this season than he was last season in some aspects of his game. It just didn't seem like the offense was there. So, you know, I don't think I'm as concerned about Kevin Hayes as maybe some are. I just hope that he can bounce back, because Kevin Hayes was a very fun player his first season with the Flyers. So if he can get that energy back, then I think Kevin should be fine.
Yeah, I think so as well. And it does make me a little bit less concerned that it's something that's a pattern, that it was definitely an anomaly because of the injury. And, you know, sometimes it makes me wish that we could find out about some of these nagging injuries sooner, so we're not as hard on somebody when we don't need to be. But I get why they do it the way they do. Don't get me wrong, but it can be frustrating sometimes to find all this out at the end of the season. So like we said at the top of the show, we are so thrilled to once again welcome back to Locked On Flyers, Mary Clark, who is now a fellow Locked On host on the Crosscheck. Welcome, Mary.
Hey, it's good to be back. Like I said, I'd love to come back anytime, and I'm glad I have, because, hey, I'm part of the Locked On family now and have been for a few months, and it's been very fun, and I'm looking forward to talking to you guys again.
Yeah, it's always nice to get your perspective on the Flyers. So speaking of the season that was, sum it up for us in three words or less.
A disappointing mess, Rachel. I think that's the best way to put it. For me, it was definitely disappointing because you had me on very, very long ago to preview the season. And I think we like the three of us all talked up how we thought the Flyers would be quite good this year and possibly contenders to win that top spot in the East. And from that perspective, it was very disappointing. And it was a mess because, well, look at the month of March, and I don't think that that's going to leave my brain for a very long time because of just how awful and terrible it was. And I really don't like thinking about it, but it was definitely a mess and a disappointing mess at that. And I think that that's the best way to describe this season if I had to pick three words for it.
I think those are three really, really good words. I think disappointing would definitely be on my list. So we asked this question, and you can either take it as high and lows for yourself or high and lows for the Flyers team. But what were the high and low moments from this past season?
Mine's, I guess, less about moments and more just about, like, individuals and how I thought about them. They can be taken as moments, though. For me, one of the highs is Joel Farabee's growth. This year, he really, really stood out. He led the team with 20 goals to 38 total points. He's been such a treat to watch, and I really hope that continues. And I really loved watching him, and he definitely surprised me. I wasn't, not that I didn't think he had this in him, but that was like the one bright spot, I think, on the team. Compared to how everything else shook out, that was like the one real bright spot on the team, and I was very surprised about that. And it was definitely a high for me to see him grow into that, and hopefully he continues from there. I guess a specific moment, though, earlier on in the season when Jake Voracek had those comments to Mike Sielski, and the memes that came out of that were funny. if you forget about that, he called him a weasel after like one of the first press conferences of the season. It was in the first week for sure, and that was definitely a high for me just because the memes that came out of that were hysterical. And I think we peaked at that point. After that point, I think it just went downhill. And I guess in the reverse, low moments for me were Carter Hart's struggles, because I really had high hopes for Hart this past year, and it was disappointing to see him struggle. He wasn't good. He definitely contributed to the way the season ended. I know that part has to do with, you know, the pandemic shortened season, the condensed schedule, you know, all the mental stuff that comes with that. Is I completely understand that, and I'm not worried about him long term. We might talk about this later because I'm definitely not worried about him. I have faith that he will bounce back, especially if they get, you know, another goaltender this offseason to back him up, and, you know, take some of that pressure away from him. But this season definitely hurt because I love him, and it was just disappointing to see him, you know, falter when we all thought he was going to take big strides. And I guess the specific moment, I would say the blowout loss, the 9-0 blowout loss to the Rangers was probably the low point. That, or I guess the outdoor game where they got, you know, blown out by, well, not blown out, but like they got outclassed by the Bruins in that outdoor game because it looked pretty and it was really fun. And that was, you know, right after the whole COVID stuff, which is definitely a low point too. So yeah, there are a lot of low points and a very, very few high points for me this year.
Yeah, I will say, Mary, you were definitely one of the calm, rational voices of reason on Twitter this mm-hmm. season when it came to Carter Hart specifically and kind of understanding things in the big picture. So I appreciated your presence there, if not for everything, but for that alone. Do you know 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance.
Introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. Your name, your stakes. Winner takes all. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You're in total control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it's meant to be. One-on-one. Play StatHero now and change the odds.
Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free, and right now you can get 3x back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That is unheard of. So go to stathero.com/lockedon, stathero.com/lockedon. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL.
No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. Best of all, it's automatic.
To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL and get started today. So given that we've had a little bit of time pass since the end of the season, has anything changed for you between right when the season ended and now in terms of what you think about the team?
I don't think so. I mean, you'd mentioned that I guess I had like level-headed takes going back towards the season. I get that it sucks to be in that moment where the team is bad and they didn't play how we thought they were going to, and it was a disappointment, like I said. But I was always of the mind that Chuck Fletcher's comments about the mix not being right was the best assessment of what was happening with this team. I mean, we've had this core for some time now, and the results have been very similar. And I think that's a good assessment of what is wrong with this team right now. I mean, also getting a top pairing defenseman too. But personally, I'd have fired the assistants during the regular season when they were in that slide in March. But that didn't happen, and I don't think it's going to happen considering we're approaching the draft, and they may have already said that the assistants are coming back. So it's probably not likely. And I still hope it happens though, because I definitely think they could use fresh voices in that regard. But I don't think in general anything has really changed, because I think I've taken the longer view on things, like you said. But it is easy to get caught up in that emotion of the season, and I get where people were coming from there. But right now, no, I don't think anything has changed for me from what I've seen, what they, need to do in this offseason to make things right.
So with that in mind, what's your take on the temperature of Flyers fans right now? And what do you think their perception is from Twitter versus reality?
Well, like I said, I get being antsy for a move. I get being, upset and frustrated with the way this team has played, because we thought this was going to be the part of the upswing. We thought, the lumps were over. We thought that this was our time to shine. And I get it. I get that frustration. But even if you're just watching the playoffs, not everything is about the Flyers right now. Enjoy the playoff hockey right now without thinking how they'd fare against other teams, because I've seen that on Twitter. Except one little nugget in, Erik Gustafsson having success with the Montreal Canadiens for some reason. And that bugs me, because the Montreal Canadiens are playing him like 6 minutes a night while the Flyers were throwing him out there every time and getting caught on rushes down the ice. And I don't get that. But regardless, besides that, I don't think it's worth being upset about this team this summer. Go outside, enjoy it, catch up with friends and family safely if you're vaccinated. The team will make moves when they can and if they want to in the summer. So I get it and I understand, but I think people right now need to, enjoy the outside while you can, because summer will end and Flyers hockey will be back. So try and enjoy your time away from them, because I think it'll do this fan base good. And speaking on Twitter, because I mentioned it, Twitter is a concentrated group like groupthink to the extreme. We all know this. It's not just sports. And it's a fun place for, you know, memes and jokes, but things can snowball so quickly with everybody talking in circles. And I'm sure the wider Flyers fan base on social media isn't happy with the team, and honestly, who wouldn't be? But I don't think the vitriol is the same from, like, the Flyers fans on Twitter versus the Flyers fans really not on social media at all. Honestly, it's probably more apathy from the general Flyers fan base than the vitriol you see on Twitter from Flyers, like, the hardcore Flyers fan base. And that's kind of how it is with a lot of things. You're going to get the more dedicated people talking on Twitter and upset and voicing their opinions. You know, like, we know this. This isn't new for even sports. But I think if I had to guess, the general vibe among the Flyers, at least in the general sense, is more apathy. Because you've got teams like the Sixers right now who are really, really doing well in the playoffs. And probably more people's attention is focused on other Philadelphia teams that aren't the Flyers. And I don't know if that's just as good or as bad as, you know, the vitriol you see on social media, but I think that's how it is at this point.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a bit of the what's the shiniest object right now in terms of where the attention is focused. And I think the Phillies are suffering a little bit as well.
Oh God, please. I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, I don't want to talk about them either. I still watch them, but God, I hate them sometimes too.
So, you know, you mentioned that you might have liked to have seen them get rid of the assistant coaches at some point during this season, and they didn't, and we know we're pretty well stuck with them. So kind of given what we know about the coaching staff, at least, do you think this past season was an anomaly, or do you think those problems are prone to happen next season?
I want to believe that this is an anomaly, because I think this team is still very, very good. It's been talked about elsewhere that, you know, the Flyers didn't prepare well for the pandemic. The pandemic obviously hit everybody, and I know that that was a big thing coming out of, you know, the exit interviews. But it seems as if they didn't prepare well enough for the pandemic, and hopefully next year things will at least be more back to normal than they were this year, hopefully an 82-game season. So I think in that regard, things will be different. But we have seen a lot of these problems before. You know, not starting games on time, letting teams take, you know, the first goal, not being able to dig out of that mental hole when they get a goal against, the defensive lapses, the goaltending mistakes, the power play and the penalty kill. They've all been problems dating back for some time now. And I mean, even before, you know, the Vigneault and Chuck Fletcher era, we had that in the Dave Hackstall era and, you know, a Craig Berube era for that shorter period of time and all that stuff. So these are problems we have seen from this team before. And I want to believe that they can fix it, but it does worry me a little bit because it feels like some of these issues are more deep rooted than it seems. And I still think, though, however, if Chuck Fletcher's comments hold true and if there is a shift in the mix, possibly moving the core and between Seattle is a big wild card for me this offseason. I think that there will be some changes. It's very possible we see a shift in that mentality from this Flyers team because of all that. But it also starts at the top with Fletcher and Vigneault, too. They definitely have to set the message. And I think that there needs to be some changes in that because the way the Flyers start out games really hasn't been good for some time now. And I think if they can, you know, better mentally prepare themselves for games and, you know, not go down early and not have to try and dig themselves out of a hole, I think a lot of things will be better and come from that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I definitely agree with you. The slow starts is just, it's really confusing because it seems like it just carries over from coach and coaching staff to coaching staff.
Yeah.
But I still do think that the two assistant coaches needed to be fired, or at least the power play coach. But moving on to player performances, you brought up Joel Farabee. He was the bright light, but there were a lot of concerning performances. So with that in mind, who do you think is most likely to rebound next season?
I mean, I'm going to stick it for my boy Carter Hart. My boy Carter Hart here. I think he's going to improve. Not in a pandemic year. I know that there was a lot of stuff going around about, you know, his like therapist and like, you know, performance, like stuff like coaches and stuff like that. but I'm not worried about that type of stuff. But the pandemic, at least, is a big factor for a lot of people in the past year and nearly a year and a half. We're getting close to it. So I think that when he's not in a pandemic year, when the season is longer, there are longer breaks, lesser workload, and hopefully he'll have a backup that, you know, he can rely on, because Brian Elliott's a good dude. He should not be backing up for this team next year. Definitely not. We've seen what happens when he gets an extended workload and it's not pretty. But I think Carter Hart, with the time to mentally reset and prepare, especially during the rough patches that happened during the season, because all goaltenders go through rough patches. But I think next year he will rebound, just because of the less difficult condensed, like there won't be a condensed schedule. Hopefully he will get out, you know, in the summer, and there'll be less restrictions on NHL teams in terms of, like, you know, what you can do in season. So I definitely think he has a chance to rebound. I'm also hopeful that, you know, Travis Sanheim and Phil Myers will rebound, because they didn't really have a good year this year. And we know they're talented players. We may have overestimated them a little bit, but it's still possible for them to, you know, show us what they're made of. And I think if Fletcher adds to the defense, they probably won't be relied upon too much to do as much heavy lifting as they did this year defensively. So I think, you know, moving them down in the lineup and not giving them as many heavy minutes will, you know, rise them up to the level that we've seen them play before.
Danielle and I have been talking for a while now about how proud we are of ourselves for starting to do some of our own auto maintenance instead of taking it into a shop. And the perfect partner for that has been rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a website with auto and body parts that has reliably low prices, no matter if you're a do-it-yourselfer like we are or you're a professional mechanic. RockAuto.com is for everybody and doesn't require membership or an account login.
RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. When you go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts, they have hundreds of different manufacturers to choose from. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamp, motor oil, even new carpet. And you can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door.
Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. You mentioned adding to the defense. Is there a non-negotiable move that Chuck Fletcher needs to make this summer for you, and is defense it?
Yes, defense is it. I cannot believe that Niskanen was the key to this defense, but here we are. We've seen how it works without him, and they're gonna have to get somebody in that top pairing spot to replace him, and they need that stability. They need to. This past year has shown us what happens when they don't. And it's they absolutely cannot go into the season next year with the defense looking the way it is, even if it means moving on from one of the core pieces to make it fit. Jake Voracek, JVR, even Travis Konecny or Shane Gostisbehere. I know that a lot of Flyers fans, well, some of them, I know a lot of them are, you know, wanting them to move on from some of these guys. But I know some of them, like some fans, won't want to move on from these guys. But that's the price you're going to have to pay, I think, to get a top pair defenseman. I think Giroux and Couturier are untouchable here. Giroux with his contract, Couturier is so good. He's probably the number one untouchable on this team in terms of pure talent. But the others all have upsides to them. And I think that if you want a top pair defenseman, you're going to have to pay top pair defenseman type in, like, return to get one. And they need it. They just can't go into the season next year without making an upgrade in that regard. And it's just so funny how Matt Niskanen's retirement caused all this chaos. I mean, it's probably other things too, but, like, losing him was huge, and I did not think it was going to be as bad as it was. And you have to get a defenseman if you're the Flyers this year. You absolutely have to.
Yeah, I don't think anyone expected the defense to crumble as much as they did without Matt Niskanen. But Mary, you are doing us a favor, because you are leading us into each next of our questions, because you talk about paying a price for a defenseman. Just in general, do you think that the Flyers will end up using their first round pick this year or dealing it? And if they do keep it, do you have any prospects in mind?
So I can see a world where they deal it. Absolutely. Especially with Seattle in play. I mentioned it before, but Seattle is a huge, huge wild card for me this year, because who knows what they're going to, who they're going to pick from the Flyers, first of all. But, like, they can make trades. They can get salary from other teams. They can be a middle. We've seen teams this year at the trade deadline. Some of them were like the middleman to a bigger trade. Like, you know, the Taylor Hall deal, or like, the Nick Foligno deal. There were, as far as I'm aware, I believe there were like a middle, there was a middleman basically getting, you know, salary from them to make the deal sweeter. So I think that Seattle is huge in play for the Flyers this year if they want to do stuff. So that's why I'm thinking it's very possible. And if Fletcher wants to be proactive before free agency and get the ball rolling on what he said he was going to do, it's very possible. And I mean, like I said, Seattle's the key. Their presence at the draft and coming to next season looms super large for teams. And I think the Flyers are a big one at that, because they have pieces they can move, and they have, you know, a draft pick, which is, I believe, 13th this year. So, I mean, that's not like the best, but that's still like, you know, as far as I'm aware, this draft is pretty deep, at least in the first round. As we'll get to it, I'm not like a big draft person, so I may not be the smartest person to ask this question. But as far as I'm aware, it's quite a deep draft, so there could be teams that want that first overall pick. My gut prediction, though, is the Flyers keep it, just because we haven't seen that type of stuff from Chuck Fletcher before while he's been here. I'm waiting to see if Chuck Fletcher will do it here, but I can see it happening, especially with his comments and exit interviews. And I guess for, you know, any draft picks in mind, like I said, I'm not a draft person in the slightest. You're going to have to go to somebody much, much smarter than me, because I have a lot more things on my plate, and I don't always keep up with the draft prospects up until, you know, the draft happens. But I would assume that they would go after a forward this year if they keep their draft pick. That would be my guess. I've seen names like Fabian Lysell, Mason McTavish, which I love that name. That's a great hockey name. And Cole Sillinger tossed around online for some of the picks I've seen, just like, you know, getting like the feel from people. So that's what I would guess, is they'd go for a forward type, but definitely somebody smarter than me would probably be able to give you a better answer at that, because prospects aren't my forte, but just, you know, reading the room, that would be where I would assume they'd go.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you that if they keep the pick, they'll take a forward in this draft, but, you know, there might be some other forwards out there that they could trade for. And, you know, one of the rumors that's always swirling around the Flyers, and especially with Dave Scott mentioning that they were really looking for goal scorers this offseason. How's that Johnny Gaudreau rumor feeling these days?
Good old Cherry Hill native Johnny Gaudreau. Yeah, he's always at the top of the list for people just because of the local aspect. And I get it. It would be fun to see him come here just because we love that type of stuff. And it doesn't happen all the time in Philly, but it would be fun, and I could definitely see it. But I could also see them even looking at the UFA market, depending on how much cap space is freed this year with Seattle, because I know people, you know, want Jake Voracek's contract to be off the books. JVR, too, has a hefty amount of cash that would be taken off the books. But I'm going to throw out some wild ideas just because I can. Zach Hyman intrigues me from Toronto. He's going to be a UFA this summer. I know Toronto's going to try their best to keep him, but it's very possible they don't, because look what happens in the playoffs this year. I think big shakeups are coming for Toronto this year, and Hyman could be one of them. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Flyers look at the UFA market for forwards here. And just another name I saw, Brandon Saad is a UFA in Colorado after this season. I would also think that Colorado would try and keep him. But it's very possible. I mean, both are good goal scorers. I mean, Saad is older, I think, from what I've seen. But still, like, they're, at least Brandon Saad, proven goal scorer at this league, would definitely inject 20-plus goals into your lineup. Hyman intrigues me as a guy who can still reach his potential in Toronto or even somewhere else. And he had a really good regular season this year. So those are two, at least, I'm looking at on the UFA market. I know a lot of people are going to throw out names like Taylor Hall, Jack Eichel, or even Mitch Marner if he gets moved. I don't know about that. And I know that's in the cards for some teams. And I don't think that'll be for the Flyers, just because they command so much cap space. And there would have to be major, major moves for the Flyers to do that. But it would be fun, wouldn't it? And I guess I had a surprise subtraction. I know that's not an addition, but a surprise subtraction. I think Travis Konecny might get traded this offseason. And I know that that might hit at the hearts of some people on this podcast. And
it's bold.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at it. I look at it like this, because Travis Konecny, I like him a lot. Dude definitely underperformed, but he can get a whole lot on the market. I think that the Flyers have a replacement for Konecny in their prospects already. Morgan Frost, if he's healthy, can provide very similar things in the lineup to Travis Konecny. I mean, they may not have the exact, you know, shot type of thing, but I think that there is a replacement for Travis Konecny in the Flyers prospect pool as it is. So I don't think losing him would be as detrimental. This is, of course, if, you know, Morgan Frost can stay healthy, because unfortunately he's been injured a lot throughout his career and we really haven't seen him get going. So maybe if, you know, Travis Konecny gets traded and Morgan Frost is on the injured list again, or he doesn't perform up to expectations, that's a problem. But I think that that's a move that Chuck Fletcher could pull. I wouldn't be surprised if Konecny moves, because they may see the same things that I'm looking at, that they have Konecny types. At least Morgan Frost to me feels like a Konecny light, essentially. So I wouldn't be surprised if Fletcher dangles Konecny out there, just because I think that they can replace him in the lineup with somebody like a Morgan Frost.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thought, especially I'm just thinking in my head, you know, the kind of, I don't know what the right word is, but a little bit, Konecny plays with a little bit of edge to him. And I think they're seeing that with Wade Allison right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tanner Lyzinski could also provide some of the skill, you know, that Konecny has. It's hard to say because we've seen less of them, obviously. Yeah. But the potential is there amongst a whole bunch of players to cover what Konecny has been able to do thus far.
And I think Konecny would be, like, I think a lot of teams around the league would love somebody like that. I mean, we talk about, you know, moving on from, like, Shane Goss to spare, and I could see that, but, like, I think somebody like Travis Konecny would probably get a higher, like a higher, you know, trade than Shane Goss to spare. I've been thinking about it, you know, all season and, you know, since the off season. That's just kind of where I'm thinking about it. If I was Chuck Fletcher, I think that there's more rewards to be found for trading Travis Konecny, but it would hurt because he is the definition of what a Flyer is, you know, plays with that, you know, on the edge style, and we love him, and the dude's a fun personality, it seems, and it would really hurt to lose him. I can see a world where that happens, though, because they could maybe, you know, fill what is lost with what they already have in their system.
Well, on that surprising but somewhat logical note, thank you so much for joining us, Mary. This was really cool. And if you want to let our listeners know what's coming up on the cross check.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to have, we have episodes of the cross check coming out every Tuesdays and Thursdays. Look forward to that. You can follow Andrew Berkshire and I on Twitter, and you can follow our podcast at the cross check or cross check NHL on Twitter. It's been a lot of fun. I started that back in April, and we've been having a good time with it, and it's just been really fun. And I also do stuff at For the Win, USA Today's property, and that's also been a lot of fun. But I will plug my Locked On podcast here, because I do it for you guys on my podcast, and now I will do it here on this podcast. So yeah, follow CrossCheck NHL on Twitter, subscribe, enjoy all the NHL talk, and we also talk pop culture too. It's a lot of fun.
Every time, Danielle, every time Mary comes on the show, it's so great. And she always has something fun to say. And I appreciate her local perspective, being a Philly fan, but she really gets the league as a whole. So she gets how the Flyers fit in as well. And I love all of that.
Absolutely agree with you. No wonder she's a guest we've had on time and time again. She's just the best.
All right. So wrapping up with a fun thing. It's normally a Flyers fun thing. This is an NHL fun thing. The Willie O'Ree Award voting is underway, and there are three very great candidates. I know I'm personally biased that I am voting for Renee Hess from Black Girl Hockey Club. She's amazing and has done so many wonderful things to support growing the game and, you know, bringing Black women into the hockey sphere. And so I would suggest you vote for her. But again, vote for whoever you choose.
Yeah, there's no wrong answer here. Everyone has done a fantastic job, and just I love that they're recognizing people with this award, because there's so many people in the community that do so much for hockey fans and the hockey teams in their community. So this is awesome.
Love it. Well, thanks for listening to today's show. We will be back again tomorrow. Of course, we'll have our gritty thing of the week. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. Send us in mailbag questions, who you're interested in picking for the draft, all that good stuff via Twitter at Locked On Flyers, or you can email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com.
I'm Danielle. You can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.